Even though he does like rugby over football, we'll still forgive him for that as well. Where's Gus? All right. I think the Dockers are going to need a big help. We're going to pray hard for them this afternoon. Anyway. That's nothing to do with what we're doing, but anyway, just getting myself organised here. Let's have a look at this scripture. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but that the root supports you. Romans 11, 18. There it is. The context of this verse is tied up with the Gentiles being grafted into the church. It's the context of what just happened today in all of us. We've all been grafted into the kingdom of God. Who's pretty pleased about that? I am. Yeah. It's good to be grafted. When someone first comes to Christ, it brings new life too, doesn't it? It's a fantastic thing. And I think we can easily forget where we've come from. And that we belong to God and to his house. And this verse is saying that sometimes we can get a bit, really we can get a little bit, if the context of the whole passage is he's talking about first fruits, he's talking about tithing as well. And giving to God honor where honor is due, including our finances. And I think that all of us have a tendency to have a bit of a wild side. You know, the Gentiles were seen as the wild people, but they came to know Christ. And, you know, when we're alone without God, we can be a bit on the wild side. But God grafts us and we have new life. We know that righteousness comes upon us. We are pure. We are clean. We are set free. What an amazing thing. And it says in this scripture, interestingly enough, the root supports you. Say it with me, the root supports you. And so in the context of giving, our tithe focuses our attention on staying with God, relying on God, and honoring God. And in this passage, Paul is speaking in the fact that when we bring our first fruits, we are connected to the root itself. We're saying, I know who I belong to. We stay focused and we stay kingdom-minded. We are dedicating our first fruits to Christ, and so the rest of our money becomes holy. Who'd like more holiness with their money rather than having holes in their pockets? If you're having a hard time financially this morning, recognize the season that you are in. And too often people get off the train in the middle of the tunnel. I've been pastoring a while now. I understand. I see what people do with their lives. Too often people sit down in the valley and just give up. But if you stay on the train, if you stand for Christ amidst your financial adversities, you are going to come out of the valley, you're going to come out of the tunnel and into springtime and harvest. That's God's word. William Colgate. Who uses Colgate toothpaste here? A few of you. And soaps and all kinds of things. Well, he died in 1857. What an incredible company. Still has the vision of the founder. Was a tither throughout his long and successful career. He gave not only one-tenth of his earnings of his all the soap products, but he gave two-tenths, then three-tenths, and finally half of all his income went to the work of God in the world. This is well documented. You can Google it, in fact. In the latter days of his life, he revealed why he gave generously. Now, this is from Mr. Colgate himself. I must not lose sight of the fact that the soap I make has been given to me by God. I honor God by sharing what I earn. I recognize that God is the giver of all my possessions, not only of opportunity, but even of the elements which were used in the manufacture of the products. Colgate recognized that by tithing and through giving generously was the only way he could give back to God, who was the giver of all he possessed. He stayed focused on the source rather than his own success. Romans 11:18, remember that you do not support the root, but that the root supports you. Whether you're having a winter time with your finances or whether you're in a great season, let's remember that it is the root that is going to bring us out of our dark and weary season, and it's the root that's going to keep us on track with the finances that we have so that we are a blessing for the kingdom of God. Colgate understood that the root supported him. Today, will we understand and commit to bring our tithes and offerings into God's house because it is the root that we honor always? So, Lord, today I pray that as we take up our tithes and offerings that we will honor you. And, Lord, the real principle is that we simply start with giving, Lord, our tenth. And as Colgate found out, Lord, that you brought blessing and more blessing, Lord, as he was generous with what you provided for him. We thank you, Lord, that we belong to the source of all supply. You are our root. Thank you, God. The people of God said, let's take up our tithes and offerings and watch our announcements today. I want to talk this week and next week about being under pressure. Under pressure. You know, there is a song by Queen and David Bowie back in 1981. I know some of you weren't born then. And here are some of the lyrics. Oh, keep. You Junior Connect, Wes, I'm so sorry. You even said go out. No. Thanks, guys. Enjoy your morning. I'll start again. I want to talk to you about being under pressure. Who finds that there's pressure in our world? Is there anyone that doesn't find pressure in their world? Put your hand up. No one's got any pressure. I don't believe you. Ken, put your hand down. It's always got to be one joker, doesn't it? Lucky Ken and I know each other well enough. All right. There's a song. It goes like this. This is the lyrics by Queen and David Bowie. Who remembers the song, Under Pressure? Who loves it? I mean, oh, my good. Under Pressure. Anyway. This is how the lyrics go. I won't sing it. Well, it might not work out so well, believe me. Under pressure pushing down on me, pressing down on you, no man asks for. Under pressure that burns a building down, splits a family in two, puts people on streets. Why can't we give love, give love, give love, give love, give love, give love? Under pressure, pressure, under pressure, pressure. Under, anyway, all right. Now, I have a little clip that I'd like to show you about what pressure can do when it goes wrong. And so I'd like us to turn the lights off and we're going to watch this. It's only about 30 seconds, if that. Got to start at the start, young man. Are we good? All right. He says at the end, call 911 right now. That's when pressure goes wrong. I'll come back to that illustration. So many people. Who's attentive right now after that? So many people are confronted with pressure in our world today. Pressure on our time. Pressure on at work. Pressure on our finances, pressure on our marriages, pressure on our family. I have some interesting statistics for next week. I want to talk more about financial pressure next week. Pressure on peers, pressure to find work. We face all kinds of pressure in our world today. And the Apostle Paul talks about pressure. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. New Living Translation I'm going to read from. I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God who can raise the dead. And he did deliver us from the mortal danger, and we are confident that he will continue to deliver us. He will rescue us because you are helping by praying for us. All right. The Apostle Paul was under pressure. He's talking about it. He says they were burdened beyond measure. They despaired of life itself. That is a lot of pressure. And if you add a little bit of history to this verse, it only compounds their current situation, the pressure they are under. So Paul had been in Asia in Ephesus, the epicenter of the world back in the Bible times. And they had been imprisoned and miraculously released and continued to preach the good news of Jesus Christ once they got released, which they were told not to do, of course. And Paul had been doing such a good job of spreading the gospel. He was confronted by Demetrius the silversmith because Demetrius was making great money out of all these, selling all these idols. And he realized that if this gospel spread, that he was no longer going to have any funds whatsoever. And so he was basically causing riots and all of the religious people, because they liked the income too that came from. It was interesting the way things worked, because there was kind of like the Jesus people that knew the good news, and then there was the religious people that wanted to just kind of rule their own way. It was like the church was the government back in those times. And yet under all the pressure, Paul was able to say, and he did deliver us from mortal danger, and we are confident that we will continue to deliver us. And so I want us to pick up on three phrases this morning based on this verse. He has delivered us. Say it with me. He has delivered us. Second, he will deliver us. And third, he will continue to deliver us. We are living in urgent times. Come on. You only have to, if anyone reads the news or looks at the television or you only have to Google what's going on around our world to know that times are increasingly becoming volatile. There's uncertainty everywhere we go. There are power struggles for nations. Innocent lives are being destroyed. Wars are threatening. Our world is under pressure. The Bible talks about this. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, and there'll be increase before the end of time comes. But the fact is, you can't live your life without pressure. Some years ago, I was at a conference designed for church planters. And a lot of the guys there were in their 20s. And we had this guy that would have been at least 20 years older than me training us, and he was super fit. I could not believe how fit he was. And every morning, as part of our training, before we got onto the running of the leadership of the church stuff, he would get us up. There'd be like this bell. And for 5 days, we would wake up every morning at 5:30 in the morning. I was with Bruce Williams from the South Australian, one of the South Australian C3 churches. And we were kind of like some of the old guys. And I looked around at the other pastors and I thought, other older guys, and I thought, oh, I might have a chance of keeping up with the younger guys. Looking at their physiques and things, you know, I thought, I might have half a chance. And day one, I was pretty good. I kept up with the main team and we're doing all these sprints and all these various things and running along the beach. By day three, I did not want to get out of bed. I was tired. And we still had another couple of days to go. Anyway, I thought to myself, today, you know, I'm going to push myself. I'm going to stay with these young bunch of, you know, these young guys. I can do it. And so we took off, and about halfway through, there's this this personal trainer who actually trains the professional surfers. He's from Quicksilver, and he's running flat strap, and I'm thinking, I'm going to keep up with this younger group if it kills me. And so I'm running with them, and suddenly my leg just gave way. And I look down, and my calf muscle has disconnected itself. I wasn't going anywhere. And you know what happened? As I was looking around, remember I said at the start, I think I can keep up with these guys. I was thinking, you know, I'm pretty good. But I ended up with the asthma sufferer right at the back of the line, crawling back home. God bless that lady. We had a good chat. Pressure is good for us until it becomes stress. You know, if you can't put pressure on your feet like I've learned, you can't walk. It takes pressure to walk. It takes pressure to run. It takes pressure to pump the blood through your veins. We need pressure in our lives. We don't want to get to the point, though, where the pressure overwhelms us, and I want to give you some keys this morning on how to deal with those pressures. Before we do that, I'd just like to pop up another picture of this is what I do. This is not me, but this is what I do in the water. I actually sit down on my surfboard, as you can see. It's called a wave ski, and I'm strapped in. When Andrea and I were on holiday, we went up to a place called Canggu in Bali, which is quite a well-known surfing spot. A lot of the professionals go there. And one day it was particularly big. This is the first week before my kids arrived. And I haven't said it to Andrea. And I was paddling, so I'm strapped in, right? I'm strapped in. And I was sitting right out the back because they were big. They were about triple overhead waves if you were standing up. It was very big. And so I'm paddling out, and then a big sneaker set comes through, and I thought, I'm strapped in. I'm looking at this wave, and I think, I'm going to beat it. And so I'm paddling. I'm paddling like crazy, except I'm going, I'm going to die. I get right to the top of the lip of the wave, and I think, I've made it. And I forgot to put my paddle in to do that last final stroke, and I got sucked backwards over the top. Down the board went under. I'm now upside down. It was such pressure that I ended up on the bottom of the ocean and the wave just drilled me. I can't remember how long it took, but eventually I thought I was all out of, not sure what was going to happen, and somehow I managed to get to the surface. And I managed to flip back over because you're sort of seat belted in. I didn't, if you actually undo your seatbelt, it can be worse because you're stuck in the foam, so that this board actually helps you get to the surface. But I was in such panic, all I wanted to do was release. And I came to the surface, I flipped, huge gulp of air. Guys around me were going, "You look really red." But you know what? I learned from that experience. Sometimes pressure can be so great, but we can learn so much. And I learned where to take off from that point on, and I had some of the best surfs I've had up there in that particular area. You know, so how do we learn how to manage pressure? The Apostle Paul said that under great pressure, he and his men learned how to rely on God. God can do something with pressure. And when we are confronted by pressure, we can build his purposes into our lives. And one of the first things we must do when we are under pressure, and I'm thinking for most of us, that it's most of the time in our daily lives we suffer from pressure. Who's always got plenty of time on their hands to get to work? Who's always running late, dropping the kids off to school? You know, the pressure goes on and on, doesn't it? There's pressure. There's pressure to hand in assignments, sometimes because we just do it at the last minute, but there's pressure. There's pressure. Wherever we are, there's pressure in all kinds of areas. But do you think God wants us to deal with that pressure? Think God wants us to learn from that pressure? And so the first thing I want to say this morning, the first point is, we've got to make space. Say it with me, space. Not outer space, but space. When we are under pressure, it is more difficult to hear the mind of God. And therefore, we need to create space in our world. And when we make choices under pressure, they can be the wrong choice. Who's ever made choices under pressure and thought, "Oh my goodness"? When we make, I actually do remember one time, and it was when Andrew and I were first married and we were trading in her old red, rusted out Holden Gemini. And we were buying, upgrading. And there was a particular car that I wanted. Andrew was leaving it up to me. Probably not such a good decision now, but anyway. Anyway, we went to buy this particular vehicle. And when we got there, the vehicle had been sold. We really wanted that car. But for some reason, I have no idea why now. I've learned a bit since then. But for some reason, we bought this other car. It was yellow. I hate yellow. If you like yellow, great, but it's not my colour. And I was just thinking, you know, why did I do that? Because there was pressure. I thought, you know what? This is the car I wanted. I couldn't buy it. There was disappointment. I'll get this one instead. Looks great. It was nothing but trouble. It was a lemon. It really was a lemon. It was yellow for a reason. See, we need to create space in our world so we don't make some of these bad decisions. I know that if I would have slept on it, I never would have gone back to that car yard in a million years. Jesus himself found himself under pressure. In Mark 6, come with me. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. I'll just talk about it for the sake of time. It is described how the crowds are pressing in on him, and that neither he nor his disciples had time for a break. They had nothing to eat. They were getting hungry. People were simply coming and going. It was been a busy day. And he would have been carrying, I'm sure that Jesus would have been carrying some emotion around this time too, because John the Baptist had just been beheaded. And so his cousin, he would have been thinking about him. And I'm sure the disciples were too. And then in Mark 6, 31, 32, Jesus says, I'm just going to read part of it. Then Jesus said, let's get away from the crowds. Let's get what? Away from the crowds for a while and rest. And they left by boat for a quieter spot. Jesus created space. He created a quiet place. They were by themselves. You know, it's a great idea to create space in your world when you're under pressure. It will help you enormously. And when you place Jesus in that space with you, it will give you the strength to keep going. On the boat, the disciples had space. They had a bit of breathing time. They had time to talk with Jesus. We need to find space to talk with Jesus. We need to find a little bit of space in our world. And then, of course, the scripture goes on and the crowds actually found them in the solitary place. But if we have a heart toward God, I want to say today that if we're in touch with Him and we've created some space in our world, then I believe that God will give you and I the answers for when we're under pressure, that we will not make decisions that we would otherwise make. We can trust in our God. We can say, Lord, I'm under pressure right now. Can you help me? But if we don't have any space in our world whatsoever, what may generally happen is that we're going to make some decisions that we wish we never had. So when we don't have a lot of space in our world, I believe that God can create space for us. Allow God to find you space. Be in His world so He can hear what to do under pressure. You know, who enjoys cricket here? Quite a lot of you. I do too. Some of the best cricketers in the world seem to have all the time in the world when a 160-kilometre-hour ball is coming towards them and play a fantastic shot. They create space. Best footballers create space. They find an opening where there doesn't seem to be one to create a goal. Stop yourself from making dangerous choices. See, the strong man was under pressure to perform. And I think if it was any other circumstances except for a strongman competition and a crowd around him, he would have thought, no, I'm going to put this thing down. If we're under pressure to perform sometimes, I think we've got to go, hey, what's God saying? Where's God in all this? Stop ourselves from making dangerous choices. Let's hear the voice of God. The Apostle Paul says, to get to know the ways of the Father, get to know His values, His principles to live by, His word in your heart, so that your poor choices diminish. If we create enough space in our world or even call on God, who believes their good choices are going to be a lot more than their bad choices? Second, clarity. Who'd like more clarity about things that are happening in their world right now? So when you're under pressure, you can be robbed of clarity. You don't think straight. You can think and act irrationally. But we can also rely on God to give us clarity. And Peter and the apostles were under immense pressure from the Sanhedrin. They were a particularly unhappy group. They were just like, you know, if you wanted to have a bad day, you'd go and see them. They didn't have a sense of humor. The apostles led by Peter had already been in jail and had been asked by this group, the Sanhedrin and the high priest, not to preach Christ anymore. That's a bit of pressure. So what did they do? Well, as soon as they were released from prison, they went about preaching Christ to whomever would listen. In Acts 5:28, they're confronted by the Sanhedrin, and the high priest says, we told you not to preach. We told you that you weren't to do that. The pressure's on them. Look at how they responded. Acts 5, verse 29. We must obey God rather than human authority. Come on. We must obey rather than human authority. How many times in society are we dictated by what other people may say or what's on us when we need to actually go to what the Word of God says for our lives? The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed Him by crucifying. They basically do a very short and precise gospel message. And then God put Him in a place of honor at His right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this to give the people of Israel an opportunity to turn from their sins and to turn to God so their sins would be forgiven. They were crystal clear in their purpose in life. And this is clarity about the gospel. We can rely on God's grace in pressured moments. Trust him. He will give you common sense under pressure, and he will give you the right words to say. And what can you believe God for under pressure? Finances, relationships, family, kids, employment, get to church, get to your connect group. Why? Because they are some of the things that are going to breathe life into you. Under pressure, we can lack clarity. But God can help. He has delivered us. Come on, let's say it together. He has delivered us. He will deliver us, and he will continue to deliver us. Thirdly, revelation. Karl Barth, one of the most renowned Protestant theologians of the 20th century. His influence expanded well beyond the academic realm to mainstream culture, leading him to be featured on the cover of Time magazine in April 20, 1962. Barth actively opposed Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime. In particular, Barth and other members of the movement vigorously attempted to prevent the Nazis from taking over the existing church and establishing a state church controlled by the regime. He was asked, "What is the greatest theological insight you can give us?" Karl Barth replied, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." When you are under pressure, what you know is going to get you through. Every one of us knows something about God. What you know under pressure and the Holy Spirit inside, when you have create space for him, when there's a bit of clarity in your world. And so when it becomes a tough situation like the disciples faced, you can say, "No, I know what I believe and I'm standing for it." When you are under pressure, what you know is going to get you through. If you know the word, it will come back to you. Come on. Even if it's just 5 minutes a day, have a read of a few verses. If you're in his presence, you can hear his voice. If I know his word and I know him, we are compelled to believe, we are persuaded, our hearts are transformed, and I'm committed, just as the apostles were, just as Karl Barth was. There was no way he was going to allow the church to be controlled by the state. People's salvation were at stake. What a simple answer, but what a profound answer. Under great pressure, he has, he will, and he will continue to deliver us. 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10, "Yes, we had the sentence of death, but we would not trust in ourselves, but God who raises the dead, who has delivered us, who will deliver us, and he will continue to deliver us." Don't lose sight of what he has done. Amidst pressure, remind yourself of what he has done in your life. We often start to think of the bad situation and we forget our salvation. We forget what Christ has done. He's good news. He has delivered us. He will deliver me and he will continue to deliver me. Make space in your world. Ask God for clarity. And God has revelation for you. I want to finish by giving you a couple of scriptures in 2 Thessalonians. "And therefore we also pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." God is bigger. He's bigger than you. He has, he will, and he will continue to deliver you. Philippians 1:6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Whatever the pressure, if the word says he will complete it, Does that mean that we fall away, that we stop associating, the pressure's too hard, we stop tithing? Does that mean that we just stop associating, we stop going to Connect Group? It simply means that we build our faith from being in relationship, and we enjoy one another's presence, we enjoy God's company, and that we know that that winter season is going to end. My God is for us. Let's stay in the right state of mind. Let's create space and clarity and allow God to bring revelation into our hearts, like Karl Barth's incredible answer. Whatever the pressure, new and old, whatever they are, stay the course. Will you stay the course with me as a church? Will we stay the course not because I say so, but because God is our Lord and Savior? He will give you the space you need. He will provide clarity. You know, I know some of you are young mums, and you know the baby starts to cry, and there's also, I know all the hassles that go on, but all we need to do is say, Lord, I thank you that you can give me revelation right now. You know, diamonds, I'll finish on this, are crystals for pure of pure carbon formed under pressure up to 190 kilometres underground. They rise to the surface under pressure. The diamond is the strongest of all composites, rock composites, diamond blades for cutting concrete. Incredible. So you can work with pressure in your life to become a diamond that rises to the surface, strong, resilient, and useful to a dying world. We need to accept our task as disciples of Jesus Christ. I will create space in my world. I will ask God for clarity. And in those moments where I'm totally under pressure, or at least, God, please help me right now that I make the right choices. And God will recall those things that you know from His Word. And the little or the much, as much as you know, it is enough to get you through. The Holy Spirit's on our side, church. So this morning, why don't we stand to our feet? I would like to pray for people that are under pressure. I'd like to pray for people. I know there's some people that would like some healing. If that's you, I've already talked to a couple of people. Please just come right now. I'm going to ask Pastor Charlie and Pastor Helen and Steve just to pray right now for you guys. Others of you, maybe you need to make a choice today. Maybe you have insurmountable pressures. Maybe it's above your head today. There's no space, but God can help you. I'd love to pray with you today. Whatever the situation, allow God into your world. He can find a way through. Hold on to the revelation today, church, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, I commit this service to you and our rest of our day. I pray that you would bring honor. Lord, we would be people of honor to your name and for your glory. The people of God said, amen. God bless you. Please come forward.